Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello, I'm Ollie Slack and welcome to the 105 Football Weekly, the podcast where we bring you the best interviews and debate from Cambridge 105 Radio's football shows over the past 7 days. In today's episode, you can hear from Tim Armitage and the From the Terraces team as he looks back over Cambridge United's 0-0 draw with Carlisle on the weekend. You can also get reaction from Cambridge City and Histon's CAMS FA Invitational Cup match on Tuesday evening. It was the quarter-final and City defeated Histon 2-0. I spoke to Buster Harradine of Histon and Steve Gorthrop, Cambridge City legend, about the match on Wednesday night, Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek. And also on Wednesday night, we played out an interview that I did with Nafa Al-Khatib from the Cambridgeshire FA, talking about the BAME FA Level 1 coaching course he's running, trying to increase the diversity in football across the county. But first, let's get started as we usually do with Cambridge United and hear Tim Armitage's reaction and the From the Terraces team as the U's drew 0-0 with Carlisle on Saturday.
It was a truly, truly awful game yesterday. Two sides that really couldn't put a game of football together, and characterised by the second game in a row, Exeter first, and then this one where we actually didn't get a shot on target. And for me, that's the real worry of it, is it doesn't matter how you do, as long as you look like you're threatening. We went through a phase a few weeks back where it looked like we might start to threaten, but you can't play two games of football and not even worry the keeper.
No, absolutely not. I think we've had a really, really poor week. And, you know, we're in a bit of a rut at the moment. We just can't seem to, as you say, find a shot at the goalkeeper at all. Obviously, Tuesday's defeat was incredibly disappointing. Didn't really offer anything by the sounds of it. I didn't go, I listened to it on the radio. But it just wasn't good enough. And, you know, people have said, you know, we had three youngsters on the bench, which is obviously, you know, good in terms of getting the youngsters into the first team and giving them an opportunity, or showing that they have got an opportunity. But the team that played Tuesday night was, you know, good enough to at least compete, which it sounded like that they didn't really do at all. And then, as you say, you go into yesterday's game and, you know, reading a few match reports about it, you know, we just didn't offer anything at all, and it's all just sort of ifs, buts and maybes at the moment. I mean, you know, we called for a change to the, you know, 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, whatever way you want to call it. And, you know, we kept a clean sheet, which is a bonus. You know, small things count at the moment, and that is a bonus that, you know, even if Carlisle were a poor side, we've managed to keep a clean sheet, which we haven't done in a little while. But we've just got to look at what we're doing going forward. You know, the strikers have probably got to be a little bit better. The midfielders as well at times have probably got to offer a little bit more. And, yeah, it's just incredibly disappointing that the creative play that we have had this season just seems to be lacking right now.
And you made a good point. I mean, the Exeter game midweek, we ended up with three youngsters who hadn't played in the first team, I don't believe, on the bench. We do seem to, at the moment, to be beset by injury. And it's interesting, I guess you'll have seen what's been going around on various different social media sites. Basically blaming it on everybody from, well, I'm actually the only person I didn't see who got blamed for it was Strang, and he's normally blamed for everything else, but certainly the coaching staff's credentials have been called into question, what they're doing, how they're going around coaching, even Barry Corr's getting the blame as the striking coach, which he's not, which is fairly interesting. But I mean, a number of them you know, do seem to have happened in training, but also a number of them have happened on the pitch. And the other thing about training injuries is if they're straight after a game, it could just be a hangover from the game. I mean, I kind of dismiss this, you know, are the coaching team competent to coach the team? I mean, they'll all be UEFA for badge holders and will be qualified to do their job, as will the physio and the medical team as well, which seems to be a bit, you know, we seem to like to question people on social media and blame somebody for what's going on, and it may just be a run of bad luck. Certainly Deegan and Abire appear to be, I mean, Deegan's especially, so is just pure bad luck. And then Carruthers was a match day injury. But it is kind of worrying that we thought we'd got the strength in depth, and it turns out that, you know, we're suffering the same as we always do. And I'm not sure that necessarily, I don't keep an eye on other teams' injury rosters and whether they're the same as ours or whether we are just particularly unlucky.
Yeah, I think it's something that does need to be looked at. You know, as you say, the coaching staff will always get fingers pointed at them. I mean, it's happened for years and years. Do I believe that, you know, Collins should bring his own sort of either coach or assistant in at least? Yeah, I think I do, because I think sometimes, you know, he needs somebody that's, you know, that he wants to bounce ideas off and maybe try something different. And as we know, the players can look absolutely fantastic in training, you know, doing their drills and, you know, putting the ball in the back of net from sort of 20, 30 yards, or, you know, good crosses into the box. But when they cross the white line on game day, it's down to them to put everything that they do in training into practice. And they're not doing it at the moment. So, you know, it's not solely down to the coaching staff. Do I think that we need to have a bit of a refresh or a rethink? Quite possibly, because, you know, we haven't been playing the best type of football for a long, long time. So, you know, it is possible. And the fitness, you know, the injuries have to be a concern for sure, because, you know, we've gone sort of 3-4 seasons and probably even further under Richard Money as well. Well, we've just had, you know, some really, really bad injuries. The players that have been injury prone, or have they been rushed back, you know, too quick, you know, in some cases, like, you know, Ryan Donaldson and Tom Elliott, you know, who were very, very key players for Richard Money when he was in charge. You know, they were always injured for, you know, 3-4 weeks, and then they'd come back for a game and then they'd be injured again. So I think it's a epidemic going through the football club that, you know, are we doing the right things by the players? You know, are we training them too hard? Are we not doing the right things in training? Are they being looked after properly, you know, after a game, before a game? Are they being monitored properly during the week? And are we, you know, looking at the injury records some of these players have, and, you know, monitoring them and finding out the true extent of some injuries and things that have happened to them? So, you know, I think there have to be key questions which, you know, quite possibly could be raised at some point soon, either with Colin or the board or, you know, whoever it may be. But, you know, it's a worrying concern that a lot of players and a lot of good players have been injured. And I've always said, you know, one thing in the sort of 3-5-2, 5-3-2 that Colin does like to play is we need energy in midfield as well as creativity. Well, we've not had Luke Cannon for a little while, and, you know, I don't think he makes a particularly good wing back, and that's no disservice to him, because I think his best position is in the middle of the park, where he has got the energy to get around and, you know, out to the side and further forward and further back, you know, to support all the wing backs that we do play at times. And he gets, you know, gets in as well, which is what we need. Jack Rowles, you know, I think we know how creative he can be, but, you know, he's having a little bit of a moment again at this point in time. You know, I think he got substituted early yesterday, Tim, for something. So, you know, again, you know, has he just got a little bit off the boil, or is it something that we just got to look at in terms of his game? And then obviously Samir Carruthers, as we spoke about before, he is the ball carrier in front of the back four, and he's the one that gets us ticking over, where we might take 8 or 9 passes to get to one position, but he's the one that gets that first pass going to get us moving quicker. So, yeah, there are problems, there are issues, and, you know, I think patience has to be a thing, you know, at the end of the day. I think Colin does need more time. There's a lot of people criticising him unfairly, I believe. And, you know, it's not just him, it's the players as well that, you know, have got to take the rap for some of their performances and some of their levels need to be raised as well.
So that was Tim Armitage and the From the Terraces team talking Cambridge United's nil-all draw with Carlisle United on Saturday. And let's bring you up to some of the stats over the last few games. You can understand why fans are getting frustrated with Colin Calvert-Lewin when, over the last two matches, the Ewes have had zero shots on target. It was against Carlisle and then also another long trip down to Exeter a week last Tuesday in the FA Cup. So fans are beginning to get a bit fed up with Colin Calvert-Lewin, especially the lack of attacking intent that he's showing. And the Ewes were playing some really great stuff in sort of September, October time. The 4-0 victory over Exeter in the league. They followed up with a 0-0 against Grimsby, but really did play well. A number of good performances at the start of the season as well. Away draws at Bradford and points against Newport as well. But the Ewes have struggled. Only one win in their last five in the league. And I think it's two wins in 15 in all competitions as well. So not great form for the Ewes. Can Colin Calvert-Lewin turn it around? Well, he's not in action this weekend because the Ewes, as I say, are out of the FA Cup. So they got a week off. Moving on then, and let's get reaction from Histon and Cambridge City's CAMS Invitational Cup quarter-final on Tuesday evening. I have Buster Harradine and Steve Gorthrop on my show on Wednesday evening, the Cambridge Football Show midweek, talking to both of them. First up, let's hear from City legend Steve Gorthrop, who said it was a pretty good win as far as he was concerned.
I was impressed with City in lots of ways. And again, it's 2-0, it's a great result, clean sheet, which we've struggled with all season. And against a Histon side that, you know, play a certain way that you have to compete and counteract that and battle. And I thought we did that really well. We showed a bit of desire, as in attitude, that if certain players won't do it for the first time for a little while, you saw other players calling them out and trying to get a reaction from them and making sure they were doing their jobs. And, you know, keeper played well when he needed to, but I thought it was just a thoroughly professional and good performance against can be a tricky Histon side if you let them be. So yeah, good.
Yeah, have you found playing Histon this season? It's the second time. One was in the Velocity Trophy, the League Cup, and now in the CAMS Invitational Cup as well. You've still got two league games to come against them. Have you found them? Because I do know what you're saying in terms of you almost have to go to war with them and win the battle before you can actually get down and play football.
Yeah, I think that's the key, and I think the first leg, I think we started well, but as soon as they got on top, then they can dominate. And when they can dominate, they can bully you. They just keep getting crosses in. You have to clear the ball, and then they get long throws and from set pieces. They're very good. So if they dominate a game, they will have more of them. And unless you sort of compete to stop them dominating, you will be under the pressure. And that's where they get their goals. They just constantly knock the ball into areas where they can get set plays. And what we did last night, which we didn't do after the start of the last game we played, was we didn't let them dominate. And that just means that, you know, they didn't have those chances, which is what their strength is. And it was very good, and it bodes well, obviously, for the league game. But again, you've got to start. You've got to have that same attitude. You can't go in thinking, you know, okay, we can just be our normal game. You've got to compete with them and not let them dominate you. And that's what we did last night.
Jared Robson and Michael Giassi, the goal scorers, two new signings as well. How they both settled in at the club, Gorth?
I thought they were very good last night. I thought we were good up front last night. All round, like I said, the keeper was exceptional when he needed to be. Defence did well, but I thought up front we caused them problems. And I think what we got was just tireless running when you have to, because you have to clear the ball consistent, like I say, put you under pressure, and you just need to not let it come back quickly. So, yeah, I was quite impressed. I mean, it's difficult, as we've discussed this season. We've seen so many new players, and on one game they'll look good, or a couple of games, but then, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, they might not be there, or they just might not have settled. So, you know, I was impressed, the squad, you know, the whole lot. And we obviously was a few missing last night. So, yeah, I was quite impressed with those two especially.
And someone slightly further back on the field, the goalkeeper, Dan George, seems to have a pretty good night last night. Histon tweeted that he pretty much kept City in the game, despite the 2-0 scoreline. Histon did look like they had lots of chances, and the City shot stopper then certainly delivered as it looked like it did. When you look at the highlights on social media as well, it looked like a terrific performance from him.
Yeah, he was exceptional. I mean, I wouldn't say that You know, he kept us in the game. It was a period just before half time when we'd obviously taken the lead, and they had crosses and had a few headers, and the ball was bouncing around. But it was what you expect your keeper to do, and what you need him to do against Iston is not only stop the shots, but, you know, take crosses and be more dominant in the 6-yard box. And yeah, he was exceptional, and hopefully he's the one that stays a little longer than the other ones at the moment.
Soham Town Rangers take on Widsley Athletic in the other quarter final of the Kems Invitational Cup. That will be one of those sides who you face in the next round. Gorf, who do you fancy out of Soham Town Rangers or Widsley Athletic?
I fancy Widsley because it would be great to go there. I don't know if it's home or away, but it's nice to see sort of sides from other areas of the county in this competition, because, as I say, it's a massive competition. We have always been historically probably the best side in the competition for quite a few years, and that brings a challenge, whereas other sides will raise the game. So we know Soham are decent. I think they're having a good season. We got beat there quite comfortably the last game we played them, so we know that will be a challenge. But yeah, I'd like to play Whittlesey just to see what sort of, from that, the north of the county, what that would be like, and the challenge that would bring to us as well. So, and it's a competition that we should win every year, but that's down to attitude, because, you know, they're going to be up for the game more because we are still the bigger fish. But and it's a competition. I love the competition. And obviously, you get a chance to play the final at United. And, yeah, so either one, but I'd just like to see Whittlesey just to see what they're like.
I bet you love playing at the Abbey as a City player, Gorf.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when I played, most of the times, the final wasn't there, and only in recent years. So only once, but yes, it was a lovely experience to be wearing a City shirt at the Abbey.
I can imagine you towering above the defenders from a corner, scoring a header and running over to the Newmarket Road end, pumping your chest with a City badge.
I didn't score many, as you probably know. So, but a win, we won the only time I played there, and that was lovely.
Always great to chat to Steve Gorthrop on the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek there. Before we move on and talk Iston, let's look at City's form. They've been in great touch of late. 4 wins in their last 5. They really seem to have turned a corner. The squad has settled down and they're going into a busy Christmas period and festive period over January as well in good touch. Iston, though, they've lost their last 2 now, unfortunately. Before that, they were in good touch as well. They've gone unbeaten in 3 games. Unfortunately, like I said, lost their last 2. A loss on the weekend to Grays Athletic and this Cavs Invitational Cup quarterfinal to City. Buster Harradine joined me on the Wednesday night show, and he said, well, just like Lance Gee, that Iston have to be a bit more clinical when they have their chances.
They had 2 chances and scored 2 goals, to be honest with you. First half, we could have been 4 or 5 goals up, but we just didn't take our chances, and that was it at the end of the day. Just, if you don't take your chances, you don't win.
Yeah, it looked like on social media, looking at the footage, that that City's keeper made a number of brilliant saves, Dan George, to keep them in the game. And it looks like that, especially like you said, the first half, a number of chances, just couldn't quite finish them off.
No, yeah, exactly. The keeper was man of the match first half for them. He kept them in the game, made some world-class saves, and it's just disappointing, really. Another day they would have gone in, but it's just what happens on the night in cup games, isn't it?
Yeah, in terms of the squad as well, I think from what I've heard afterwards, it seems like a number of players or a few players picked up injuries as well. I know a number of youngsters sort of made their mark off the bench as well. Was there any injury scares from the sort of the first team players during the match?
So we had Danny Gould, he'd done his hamstring out towards the end with 20 minutes to go, so we finished with 10 men. Lee Smith, Evan and Macca, I think that was their first proper game in a good couple of months, so they were struggling and blowing a bit. but yeah, we had a tough game Saturday at the in the league, and the pitch has got real heavy all of a sudden, so it does take it out of you playing Saturday and Tuesday.
Yeah, is there any way you can combat the pitch really when it does get cut up? Because I was there at the game on Saturday and it did look more mud than grass, put it that way, and I guess it's probably only going to get worse over the next few weeks. And in fairness, it has stayed in pretty good condition considering the amount of wet weather we've had during November. Is there anything you can really adapt to play differently? Do you go more direct when the pitch is a bit more cut up?
I think you're going to have to. We're quite a direct team anyway, but I think, yeah, we're going to have to be even more direct, hit the big men up front and play off them, get the seconds off them instead of playing through the midfield. The pitch will get worse eventually over the next few weeks, but I think we've got the players who can play on these kind of pitches as well as decent pitches.
Yeah, before we move on and talk about the league form as a whole, I think last time we spoke a bit about you and being a cup specialist. So you must be, I guess, disappointed to have a chance of silverware taken from your grasp, really. The County Cup gives an opportunity with so few rounds as well, and Histon and City probably being the main two sides in the competition.
Yeah, it's always disappointing. You always want to, especially Cam's Invitation Cup, you always want to get to the final because it's always a good day out at the Abbey. It's not meant to be this year. Hopefully I'm still playing next year and give it another go. But we're still in that, the League Cup, which we got put back in because Ware got kicked out. So
there you go.
Always chance for that trophy, yeah.
Well, it looks like it's meant to be then. I won't say any more there, Buster.
No.
And just lastly, Buster, I want to talk about the youngsters that have been in the side over the last few weeks. Lance kept his squad pretty thin over the summer. He wanted to keep it a tight-knit group. Obviously, he brought in yourself and George Corr recently as well, but other than that, he's brought in some real youngsters. Alfie Lawrence made his first full start away to Maldon and Tiptree and really impressed. He's just one of the youngsters he's been playing over recent weeks. What have you made of them as a, shall we say, older pro in the side?
Well, the younger ones come in, you couldn't even really tell that they've just come in. They've settled in well. They're all very good players. It's just that it's complete different physicality, really, is playing against these Essex sides of big, horrible people. You've just got to stand up to them. And they're doing that. They're very good technical-wise, and hopefully they do get more of an opportunity. It's just difficult to try and put them in when you are trying to push for the playoffs, because you don't want them to come in and then not do so well and then lose their confidence and dislike football. You've got to slowly put them in the right way.
And does your role change a bit as being a more experienced player in the side in terms of nurturing them? Do you feel that responsibility upon yourself?
Yeah, I always have a little chat with them, but then also I've got like a mind of a 21-year-old.
So you can relate to him pretty well.
Yeah, I forget I'm the oldest in the squad. So, but I'm just there. I just tell them to enjoy it and do what they can do. They're there on merit. They're not there just to make up the numbers. And they're good enough. Just go out and show it.
Great value as ever is Buster Harradine talking there about the youth team players as well. The mind of a 21-year-old, I'm sure that definitely is the case. So Histon, they, like I said, going through the last two games, not been as great as they've probably set their standards throughout the season, but you know, they're still doing well in the league. 10th in the league for a promoted side is very, very good indeed. Let's move on then, and the final part of today's 105 Football Weekly is an interview I did with Nafer Al-Khatib from the Cams FA. He was speaking to me at St Edmunds College, which I believe that's where he also works, so I went and drove over to the college and spoke to him there, and we spoke about lots of things in actual fact throughout his life. But the interview that we're going to play you is one about the new Cams FA coaching course for BAME specific people. You know, there's lots of underrepresentation all the way throughout football, with not many coaches in the Premier League and Football League being of BAME backgrounds. And the FA adopted a policy themselves last year to try and increase, especially in the national side, a number of BAME coaches and try and make it as diverse as possible. Chris Powell has joined the coaching staff, Michael Johnson as well, the former coach of Guyana, has joined the under-21 setup as well. So there's just examples of how they're trying to fix the diversity issue at the top of the game. This is how they're trying to do it at local level and grassroots level. And Nafer spoke really well about the course. This is how he said he all got it set up.
It's a long journey, but I think it's a positive journey. Started When KAMSFA wanted an inclusion member to join them, put myself forward that time, which is, I think, 16, 18 months ago. And basically, I joined them. We sat on the table on a few meetings and we tried to address a few issues. I think, like in any journey or any things you want to improve, you ask how and why and what and where and when. We ask how we could approach this community, why we don't see much representation in the football in Cambridgeshire in general. What do we have to do to approach them? So we had a lot of discussion, a bit of changing in the staff in Cambridgeshire, hold it a little bit. But I think through general national FA strategy to improve the representation in football, which is a great staff from them, a great strategy. We came, and it comes just coincidence, we have a great mosque, which is one of the best in the one of the best in Europe, sorry, and basically the first of its kind in Europe. I thought what we have in terms of thinking about this community, you need to think like them, you need to understand them, you need to approach them in a different way, because they will not come and knock the door. They will, they need somebody understand them inside out. And I thought, let's try to see what we could do, because my background is a Muslim and I understand the Muslim, how they think, how they feel and what they want. So I thought, let's bring Cambridgeshire FA staff to build that trust and open an honest communication channel between the Muslim community and this and Cambridgeshire FA. And I'm arrange a visit, and kindly the imam, the main imam, Imam Sajjad, took that tour, explained to him about the mosque, about Islam. And I think that visit left a very, very strong positive outcome. We had a discussion how we could improve that, how we could make more people from the community to come and join the football or involve in football. So we came about is how about we could create a club to represent the community, because you need people from the community to run the community. So we encourage kids, male and female, or boys or girls, to get involved. So the idea born from that, and basically to build that bridges between the communities in general in Cambridgeshire.
And what is your hope for the course? When you sort of set up the course, what are you hoping for over the next few weeks, years, in terms of this specific course?
It's number one is the hope is, I'm sure there is around 6,000-7,000 Muslims in Cambridgeshire itself, and that's something we could bring their kids to play football, engage in football. Football is a universal language. But one of the things sometimes is because this community needs somebody like a role model or somebody they could look at it to help them to get more involved, more engaged. And that's the idea that is for a long term is a club, so they feel they are belong to that club, they feel part of the football in general in the city. And also we encourage more participation, kids, boys and girls, into football.
And once you obviously you see them sort of more get involved in the course, do you hope that then it's the start of something in terms of getting involved more in football and involved in the community in Cambridgeshire?
Yes, well, the coaches courses through the FA, they are brilliant coaches. I think it's a very good courses to help them to understand kids what England DNA. Because I think the main strategy plan, there is a lot of mix, a lot of like background in the England national team, and that will help them to maybe we'll find the next star in the next 5-10 years. But we need somebody who are from this community to help to bring those kids from this background family to the football here.
And I imagine as well, Cambridge must be a perfect city to almost sort of run the course as well, because it's definitely such a multicultural city in and around the surrounding areas as well. It's almost like the perfect place to run the course.
I agree completely with that. It's an excellent example as a Cambridge is a multiculture. We've got, I don't know how many, like over 100 people, 100 background from all over the world. And we got a great example, University of Cambridge is a multicultural place.
And in terms of, you mentioned what the national government body are doing in terms of the FA and some of the schemes they've put in place over the last few years in trying to increase diversity in their coaching setups, in not just in the national teams of England, but in throughout the Football League, the Premier League as well. Do you think unless we start to see more BAME sort of represent coaches and players making the step up into coaching in the Premier League and the Football League, it's going to be difficult to, for really kids at this level, at young level in Cambridge, to sort of aspire to become them?
I think it's, I agree with that, and there's not much role model in the professional setup, but I think to increase that participation, I think they need grassroots superhero from their background, from as a role model. They could look at it, they could say, I want to be somebody in the future like him. And it's a longer process, it'll take time, but I think it's a positive sign in the city. I think the work, Cambridgeshire FA, the inclusion group, they put a lot of effort on that. And hopefully we could also engage more communities in the city to get involved in that.
And you mentioned to me off air about when you sort of go to football matches on the weekend and you look across the benches and in the dugouts and you don't see too much diversity. Firstly, why do you think that is? And secondly, how do you think we can go about improving that? Is the coaching course a way to try and improve that?
In the last 3-4 years, because I'm involved also as a coach, I worked in Peterborough United as an academy coach. But this is completely different setup. But when also I support a couple of clubs as a volunteer in a grassroots team, and sometimes I look at the other side of the bench, which is I don't see any, very rare I could see anybody who are from a different background. Yes, I think it's probably it's opportunity. Probably more networking could get involved in that, because one of the things is, now we have a question is, when the candidate will finish their course, now we need to think about what we're going to do, how are we going to get them involved into clubs, or maybe the clubs we're planning to create, they can't get involved. How soon that going to happen, we will know soon.
I guess, like I said, opportunity, once they've got the qualifications, is another matter. We've seen in the NFL they've approached the Rooney Rule, and it's adopted by the FA, I think, around January last year. Just give us your thoughts on that as well, because I guess it means that they have to interview at least one BAME candidate. Do you think that's been a real positive for the game?
Yes and no. It is very difficult, because I don't believe you should just apply and if you're good enough, you're good enough. If you're not good enough, you're not good enough. That's my opinion. But I think it's opened more door for the BAME coaches to get involved in football when you apply for a pro club. You know that you might have a chance to get at least for interview level. But basically is now you got the opportunity to show your skills, your ability, to progress through the game.
And I guess then both the interviewee and the interviewer are both learning different skills and interacting with all sorts of different people as well, I guess, a benefit in that sense. So just lastly then, Nate, forgive us the details of the course. If anyone's listening and want to get involved, tell us how they can.
Number one, if they want to get involved in the course, simple, get in touch with Cambridgeshire FA. I'm sure they are very happy and to help. The course is basically will introduce England DNA. It will introduce the four corner, technical, physical, psychological and social, and also the understanding of the player long-term development. Also the learning or the learning plan, which is do review, plan do review, which is helping to to design a practice session, and also give you an idea how to engage the player from the early age.
So that's all we have time for, unfortunately, this week on the 105 Football Weekly. Thank you very much for tuning in as ever. Next week, Harry Jones should be back in the chair to bring you the best Cambridge 105 Radio's football shows over the last week or so. If you want to carry on listening to sport on Cambridge 105 Radio, you can do. There's loads of podcasts available to download on the 105 website. There's cricket, talking about England's tour of New Zealand with local cricketers. There's all of our football shows as well. If you want to listen to live sport over the next few days, you certainly can as well. On Saturday, I'll be back with the Cambridgeshire football show from 12 o'clock. Jack will be in the chair for the results at 5. Tim and the Terriers team return from 6 p.m. on Sunday, and then it all goes around again. I'll be back on Wednesday. Thank you very much for listening once again, and make sure you tune in next week.